Organized. I'm your host, Johan, and
I'm Tara, and we're back.
We're back, yeah. And full disclosure on this one too. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm still sick, probably sicker than I was on the last episode that we did.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because I'm gonna fight through it, and we're still gonna have a good episode.
That, or we're gonna reshoot it.
Yeah, or we'll just re-record it later. Whatever.
Oh, man. Yeah, you can't hear it in your voice. I'm so sorry, brother.
No, that's okay. How are you, Tara?
Well, I'm great. It's another day in paradise for me, but how are you, Edesdor?
I'm
hating life.
I'm fighting. I'm fighting, but I'm okay. So today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 11, The Hunted.
Excellent pick, by the way. Well done. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was my pick.
And it was good. So, essentially, this is the Jason Bourne episode. We're looking at super soldiers. All right. Let's get down to the episode itself. We're going to Engosia 3 because they really want to join the Federation. And we need to talk to Prime Minister Nyrok.
Hey, quick question on that.
Tell me.
They're all humans there. Like, why aren't they just a part of the Federation for being human?
That's a really good question. At some point, we discuss humanoids being part of the entire universe independently of Earth. That's a really good question. And the only distinguishing feature that they do have is when they make a super soldier, they give him like a blue-green band back from his eye to his ear. And that's it. Just a small band. A little bit of makeup.
Be like, which is a super cool 80s band.
I know. Right. So Prime Minister Nyrok is going to take Captain and Number One on the tour of the Capitol. Our team were super impressed. You know, it's a tribute to your people that you were able to recover so quickly from the Tarzian War. Captain thinks they're going to make a great addition to Starfleet. And Riker's like, yeah, I think it's a bit stuffy. I wouldn't want to live here. A little too formal for me. Okay, so we go back to the Enterprise. We're going to make our recommendation to the Federation that, yeah, we think these people could join. But there's a problem. Suddenly, a prisoner escaped from a penal colony of Lunar 5. And two guards are dead, and a transport vessel was stolen. And suddenly, the Prime Minister, Nyrok, he's asking the Enterprise for assistance. We got to go find this dude. Because the captain and Riker are down on the planet, Data's in the captain's chair. You know, so props to the android for taking the helm. Anyway, so the stolen ship is now encircling a moon. It's coming. We found the stolen ship, and it's going to encircle this moon / asteroid. And as it goes around, we're like, we'll get it when it comes back out the other side instead of chasing it like a bug. But only the drive section comes out the other side. So they go around to the other side to find out what happened to the rest of the ship. And the other ship is smashed, and it's just wreckage. They're like, oh, well, I guess he must have died. You know, Data even says, apparently, he did not survive. But then suddenly the drive section disappears. And then the prisoner has eluded us. And the captain's like, how the hell did the prisoner elude the Enterprise?
This is the flagship of the Federation.
The flagship!
You can't just run away from the flagship. We're the best of the best here.
Exactly! How is this, like, Angosian person who doesn't even have status in the Federation eluding us? How is that happening? So the Prime Minister gets back to us. After the amazing, you know, space, the final frontier. Estos son los viajes de la nave Estelar Enterprise.
Ah, very good.
Anyway, so the after the amazing intro, which is good in all languages, if I may. Although I did look it up. You said look it up in both French and in this one, it was very simple. They just translated it literally, The Hunted. Neither culture. Did the Germans give it a different name?
To be honest, I forgot to check.
But I think perhaps this one was spot on. I don't think they needed to rename it. You know, like in the last one, it was like, I don't see how the name even matches the episode. But in this one, it's like, yeah, I can see it. It makes sense. In both French and Spanish, they just kept the name. So the Angosian Prime Minister contacts us and is like, yeah, this is Roga Danar. That's his prisoner's name. And his criminal record is too long to even go into. But he's super violent and full of rage, and you need to catch him with extreme caution. So we're on the bridge of the Enterprise. We're like, how did he disappear? I don't know. Did he cloak? Nope. Nope. The Angojans don't have cloaking technology. Did he warp? Nope. Nope. Shuttle that size doesn't have warp capability. Well, perhaps he's hanging out on the planet using the magnetic poles to confuse our sensors. So maybe he's hiding in the poles of Angoja. Bingo. That's exactly what he's doing. Kudos to Riker for his idea. So we see the ship, but there's still no life form readings. That's odd, seeing as how we're pretty sure he's on it. So we go and we get our tractor beam. We're like, we're gonna go get this guy. Well, he turns around and he starts heading toward us. And they're all like, he's making a suicide run. And he comes straight at us and then boom, bounces right off the shields. Data's like, I don't think that he's still in there. And let's check for an escape pod. And so they do. He has indeed jettisoned an escape pod. He's all about diversion. You think he's doing one thing and bam, he's doing something completely different. So we beam that son of a bitch aboard. And he beams aboard all kinds of unhappy. He's got a weapon that we've rendered inoperable when we beam him. We know that he's got a weapon in the beam, but we can dismantle that apparently in the beam. That's something we can do because we're the flagship of the fucking Federation. Sure. It's what we do. So he don't even give a shit. He throws it. I mean, he attacks the security team and he's winning. He's taking down our security team until Worf and Riker get there. And that's five different people. O'Brien is just thrown in the corner. Like he don't even know what to do with himself. And it takes both Worf and Riker to grab him and take him down. And he's clearly better at all this than we are. The Angojan Prime Minister is like, we want to get him and we want to get him back to the penal colony, but we need to repair all the damage that he done did in his escape. So you're going to have to hold him for a few hours. We're going to send a ship, a transport, but y'all need to hold him. And we highly recommend you sedate that son of a bitch. Just put him to sleep. Just drug him. We don't even like him. Riker's like, Data, how come we didn't read any life signs? Did you run some diagnostics on the ship centers? How come we can't read him? And Data's like, yeah. Ship, is he in the brig? And the ship's like, there is nobody in the brig. And Riker's like, I swear to God, I put him there. And he's like, no. Data's like, the reason that the sensors don't pick him up, they're like, is he an android? He's like, no. The sensors, they detect androids. The reason they don't pick him up is because he's got no life signs. He's capable of deceiving any sensors. Scene. So that's the discussion. So now we find out. That's interesting. You know, mystery, all the little clues, little breadcrumbs that are going to get us to where we're going. So Troy's walking down the hallway and she suddenly senses something ain't right.
And she feels some shit.
She feels some shit. And it ain't pleasant. So she runs back to the unpleasant sensation and she finds Roga is having some nightmares, and so she investigates. The prisoner is actually unaware of where he is.
This makes me wonder.
Yeah.
When she's walking down the hallway,
yeah,
does she just sense other people's nightmares?
I feel you, right? But in the Federation, there are no nightmares because everything is lovely.
Everyone's happy and at peace in the future.
That's right, because it's a scientific, logical society, and we don't have any anxiety because we take care of that shit. So yeah, but if that were the case, wouldn't it suck to be her? I mean, you would suddenly become Jean Grey in X-Men, right? Where you're not sure you want to open your mind to everybody because everybody's minds are shit. So it turns out the prisoner's unaware of where he is. So they managed to get him in the holding cell and just walk away from that son of a bitch. They put him in there and they were just like, fuck you. It took five of us to get you in here. We ain't even going to discuss your situation with you. He don't know where he's at. So Troy's like, you're on the USS Enterprise. And he's like, is this a war vessel? She's like, yeah, it's a Federation starship. He's like, are you the keeper of this jail? She's like, no, ship's counselor. Rogue's like, counselor? So you're not taking me back? Troy's like, going back terrifies you, huh? Rogue is like, well, I just killed three people to get out of there. And I could do the same to you. Troy's like, are they mistreating you there? Like, or is there a reason why you're killing people to get out of there? Nope. I'm just a prisoner. But a jail is a jail. Then he starts messing with her. She's like, what is all this rage towards me? He's like, I don't know. Maybe somebody looking like you wronged me when I was a kid. I don't know. And she says, well, I sense, he's like, why are you here? She says, I sense you were in pain. He's like, well, what do you sense now? She's like, that's gone. Back in the ready room, back in the place where we discuss things, Troy's trying to explain what her encounter with the prisoner. She's like, there's a duality to him, okay? He's aware of his crimes. In fact, they trouble him deeply. But he's inherently nonviolent, so he shouldn't be. He's not a criminal inherently in his inner places of his mind. And the captain's like, dude, counselor, it took freaking 5 men to restrain him. She's like, I'm not saying open the damn door. What I'm saying is something don't smell right. There's nothing inherently criminal in his personality. And the captain's like, who gives a shit? In a few hours, we're going to give him back. And Troy's like, okay, all right, that's fine. I'm cool with it. But she doesn't quit. While the scene ends in the ready room, she goes and looks for his criminal record, which is non-existent. Now, if you remember in the very beginning, Prime Minister Asshole said that it was so extensive, I don't even want to get into it. But she can't find a single criminal record. And not only that, he's a military prisoner, and this is a military penal colony. So she's like, well, he was a soldier then. And not only was he a soldier, he got 2 promotions with honors during the war. So she's like, what was his crime? Turns out there wasn't one. So Troy goes back. How come you were imprisoned? And Roga's like, dude, it was war. Troy goes back to the captain. And Troy's like, Roga Dana was this idealistic young dude who was turned into a super soldier, turned into Jason Bourne. Similarly to Jason Bourne, through intense psychological manipulation and biochemical modifications, all this scientific fictional text. It's very cool. So he's a super soldier. And he was created by his own government. And then when the war ended, he was discarded with many like him to this penal colony. They just kind of, you know, swept him under the rug. And Data's like, wait a second. So he was programmed. Remember, Data's the android. Did anyone attempt to adjust his programming? Nope. So Data visits Roga Danar and explains that he's on Android and that we have something in common. We've both been programmed. And he says, I can be altered. My program can be altered. Can't yours? And Roga's like, no. If it could be done, wouldn't they have done it? And he's like, we're not the same. Because, you know, I've been through war. And Data's like, I'm not saying you haven't been through war. But I'm talking about the programming. If they did this to you, can't they undo it? So, Angosia Prime Minister contacts the captain and is making all kinds of excuses like, yeah, don't ask us questions about this. It's none of your business. This is internal affairs. Don't mess with us. So back to Data and the Roga conversation. Roga's like, I've killed 84 times. And because of my enhanced memory, I feel and remember every single one of them. And the captain comes in. And the captain's sole purpose of coming into the room is to meet the guy and to tell him, I'm really sorry, I can't help you, my hands are tied, I gotta give you back. And he's like, well, I guess thanks for telling me to my face. He's like, well, I thought you deserved that much. Thanks? You know? So the captain leaves, because captain's hands are tied, remember? But you should know that. This is not my fault. Captain basically is like, dude, whatever happens to you from here on out, it's not my fault. So Troy stays behind and says, you know, maybe we can help you when Angosia joins the Federation. Roga's like, nope, I'd rather die than go back to Lunar 5. All right, so we have the prisoner transfer. How do you think that's going to go?
I feel like he's going to break out.
He does indeed. They try to transport that bastard, and that bastard busts through the transporter beam. And she's like, no, you're going to die. He's like, I'm not going to die. And then he disappears. And there's no explanation as to why he broke through the transporter beam.
Yeah. Apparently you can just rip yourself out of it.
Without consequences. Or maybe he's a super soldier and he don't have consequences. And then just end up somewhere else. Because he's not on the transport ship. He's not in the original.
Yeah, room. He was just gone.
He was just gone. Somewhere on the ship. So they're like, dude, turn off the turbo lifts. And then they're like, well, maybe turn it back on, because if he uses one, then we'll catch up. So he uses a turbo lift, but it's a trap. So they're like, turbo lift him right to Worf. But he's too smart for that. So he puts a phaser on overload and throws it in the turbo lift. And Worf walks up to it. And the turbo lift opens, and Worf walks into the turbo lift, knowing that there's a phaser about basically turned into a bomb. Picks it up with his bare hands. puts it to his face and starts messing with it to defuse the bomb with his hands. Like,
it's like jumping on a grenade. Yeah.
Thank you. So, I mean, kudos. Like, it's badassery right there.
No fear in Worf.
So, at this point, Daynar has taken out the entire engineering crew.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember, there were bodies everywhere.
Yeah, well, we're assuming he knocked them out.
Right. But littered with bodies. So we're hoping they're not dead at this point. But yeah, he probably knocked them out.
I mean, he knocked out Geordi, so everybody else is probably knocked out too, right?
Exactly. Well, Worf arrives on the scene and immediately goes to Geordi because screw all these other red shirts. And Geordi's like, dude, I never seen nobody move that fast. He just took us all down. Look, it looks like he reestablished power to the shuttle bay too. And I was like, then we know where he's going. And do we?
No.
No. His whole MO is, you know, it's misdirection. So if he's shown that he's going to shuttle bay 2, he's definitely not going there. But Worf heads out that direction. And as he's leaving, Geordi's like, if you bring in a security team, if you want my advice, double it. You know, because this guy's badass. So Data realizes that he's probably not going to do the obvious thing that he says he's going to do, because ever since up until now, he's the king of misdirection. So we figure he's going to go to the cargo bay. So Worf goes into the cargo bay and they try to gas him. So he goes and he lays down behind some things, and Worf comes in and is like, you know, oh, he's not here, and pretends to leave. Now Worf is trying to pull his own misdirection, outsmarting Dana. Dana goes into survival kill mode because now he's fighting a Klingon, although he doesn't kill Worf, luckily. But he does escape to the transport ship. He takes down those guys in the transport ship. We're still repairing our sensors. Meanwhile, Dana heads over and attacks Lunar 5, the penal colony. And there's a mass breakout. And all these people, all these super soldiers, are headed toward the capital. And the Prime Minister is like, we request Federation aid. And Picard's like, I'm on my way. So he goes there with an away team of Worf, Data, and Troi, and himself. And as they're heading to the transporter room, Riker pulls Worf aside and is like, dude, you are responsible for the captain personally. If the captain don't survive, you don't survive.
Worf's like, please, I got this.
Yeah. This will be my third encounter with this douche. So they arrive, the small away team arrives, and the Prime Minister's like, this is it? Where's your security teams? Where's your army? Picard's like, we're not here to fight your wars. And he's like, but they're dangerous. And Picard's like, dude, you're dangerous. You're the one who created them. So we ask, you know, why didn't you try and undo what you did with the super soldiers? And you have your ethical conundrum. What should they have done? Because he keeps saying that we had a referendum. Referendum is simply a vote, you know, that we asked what the people wanted, and the people wanted to reestablish them on Lunar 5. So they didn't even bother trying to get these people unprogrammed. And so you created these super soldiers, then you swept them under the rug, you forget about them, and you never once tried to undo their conditioning. So we knew when we conditioned them that we would probably not be able to undo it. And Picard's like, well, did you let them know before you did this? Silence. So what that means, no. And then the guy next to the Prime Minister says, we don't want to undo it. We might need to use them again someday. It's like, oh, use them. Okay, clearly you don't see them as human beings. You see them as tools. And when you take away someone's humanity, you can mistreat them as however you like. And the super soldiers arrive. Dun, dun, dun.
They charge in, surrounding everybody.
They do.
Very dramatic.
It is super dramatic. And Prime Minister is begging Picard for help. And Picard's like, peace out. Good luck with this, man. Because the super soldiers ask for to be rehabilitated into their lives.
Picard's like, my name's Paul, and this is between y'all.
That's right. It's what it is. And the Prime Minister tries to weasel his way out of it. Like, I don't negotiate with armed terrorists. You need to go back to Lunar 5 and then we'll talk. Super Soldier's like, yeah, you really think that's going to work? I got a gun to your head. Picard's like, well, peace out. Enjoy your night. He's like, you're leaving us? Yep.
Have fun dealing with this situation.
Yeah. And they go back, and I guess they were in a hurry to wrap it up because, oh, wait. Before he leaves, he tells the Angosian Prime Minister that the Federation will reconsider your membership whenever you're ready. you know, basically denied, and I'm out. So he goes into the, he goes back to the ship, and he's on the bridge, and he tells Riker, send a message to the Angosian government. If it survives the night, the Federation will offer its assistance in the rehabilitation of the super soldiers. And Riker's like, if they don't survive the night, Captain's like, I got a feeling they're going to choose to survive. Let's set a course to Lyra 3 because I'm tired of this nonsense. So that's it. So what do you think of the ethical conundrum? I mean, creating super soldiers and then keeping them on the slot, on the side so you can use them again?
I picked this episode because I remember watching it as a kid and just having fun with the fact that this guy constantly could evade, you know, he got away from the Enterprise. He got away from him.
Yeah, which doesn't happen.
And I remember thinking that was very fun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now looking back on it, I think it was you that pointed this out, is like, it's kind of like a metaphor for Vietnam veterans coming back from the war, or any veterans for that matter.
No, indeed.
And how when you come back, you just can't turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, is the change in brain chemistry. The trauma that you experience is so intense that your brain chemistry physically changes, and it doesn't just unchange. So when you come back, you know, you're often bombarded by, oh, aren't you happy to be back? Aren't you glad to be here? Isn't it great that it's over? And you don't feel great because you're still... You've been conditioned to live in insecurity and trauma amidst violence, and you can't suddenly feel at peace without a lot of counseling and help. So, you know, the Vietnam War, all of our veterans have come back, and the VA, you know, the veterans' medical facilities are, I mean, woefully understaffed, underfunded, and we are failing our veterans every day.
Yeah.
And so the literal side of the metaphor is that our Lunar 5 penal colony, or sweeping them under the rug, is our leaving thousands of veterans homeless because they couldn't reconnect. They couldn't make it work after what they'd experienced. And so when you go through something like that, you have to learn to live with the new you and figure out how you can function again. But you'll never be the same. The new you can be wonderful, but you have to learn to process all that you've experienced. Yeah. But on the lighter side of this episode, Jason Bourne kept whooping everybody's ass. I mean, the Enterprise, the flagship of the Federation, the top of the top of what Starfleet has to offer, just couldn't defeat this guy.
Just couldn't keep with this guy.
No. And as you pointed out, that was fun to watch. So yeah, a little bit of real life, a little bit of fun, some science fiction.
You ready for the next episode?
I am ready for the next episode. Talk to me.
All right. Next episode is actually the very next episode, which is season 3, episode 12, The High Ground. And this one is both of our picks. Yeah, we both picked this one.
Awesome. Season 3, episode 12, High Ground. I'm excited because I actually... So just kept on going a little bit, and I didn't finish.
I know you did,
but it was really good. I'm like, the next one's a good one. I just assumed we never picked two right after one another, you know, two consecutive ones. But I guess we did. So that's exciting. Next one's a good one.
Yeah, typically we don't, but yeah.
But it's another war-centric one, and I feel like in the late '90s when we were dealing with, you know, or the early 2000s. With the terrorist threat. That'll be a big theme of next week's episode. All right. It's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah.
Hope you'll join us again next week. Johan should go get
over. I'm going to go lay down now.
Yeah, fair enough, kid.
Thanks for joining us. Tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.